This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
It is Passover and we are all wicked children. There will be swearing. Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Marjorie.
I'm Indy.
And I'm Brittany.
And Goodwin is out helping friends do things. Today, we are talking about the four children of Passover.
So grab a cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
Chag, Pesach, Sameach. Happy Passover.
Yep. Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. The four children of Passover, you say. Mm-hmm. What is this and why are we suddenly talking about Passover? Well, we're talking about Passover because it is Passover and Marjorie is Jewish. But more importantly, during Passover, we have what's called a Seder, which is a very elaborate meal, to put it shortly. There's lots of readings, and one of the readings is about the four children. It's basically like how you respond to these four children when they ask questions about Passover. The four children are the wicked child, the wise child, the simple child, and the child who doesn't know to ask. And it just so happens that there are four children of Passover, and there are four children in our book. So I thought, you know what might be fun? To figure out which of the four Passover children are the circle children. And you lovely folks were kind enough to humor me. and I'm very grateful.
And you guys, our listeners, can debate with us and decide if we are correct or not.
Exactly. I gave you guys a little bit of homework. I had you listen to episode 25 of Torah Smash, the podcast for nerdy Jews. This originally aired March 29th, 2023. For you, our listeners, I'm not going to go deeply into the four children, but if you want to know more about the four children and hear more like nerdy debate about them, go listen to that episode. We will link it. Mostly I wanted you guys to have a background in it, and I liked the way the episode talked about different versions of how to interpret the four children.
Right. I like that too.
Yeah. The four children are actually kind of controversial at this point. This is from Haggadot.com. Haggadah is like the collection of readings that you do at the Passover Seder, and Haggadot.com lets you like mix and match to make your own personalized one. It's very cool. But this is more or less like the basic sort of traditional, for lack of a better word, like reading about the four children. As we tell the story, we think about it from all angles. Our tradition speaks of four different types of children who might react differently to the Passover Seder. It is our job to make our story accessible to all members of our community, so we think about how we might best reach each type of child. What does the wise child say? The wise child asks, "What are the testimonies and laws which God commanded you? You must teach this child the rules of observing the holiday of Passover." What does the wicked child say? The wicked child asks, "What does this service mean to you?" To you, and not himself, because he takes himself out of the community and misses the point. Set this child's teeth on edge and say to him, "It is because of what God did for me in taking me out of Egypt. Me, not him. Had that child been there, he would have been left behind." What does the simple child say? Like I said, it's controversial. What does the simple child say? The simple child asks, What is this? To this child, answer plainly, with a strong hand, God took us out of Egypt where we were slaves. What about the child who doesn't know how to ask a question? Help this child ask. Start telling the story. It is because of what God did for me in taking me out of Egypt. The two things that I think it pointed out a whole lot, and I think at least one of these got pointed out in the Torah Smash episode, is the wicked child is literally like, oh, well, if you'd been there, God wouldn't have rescued you anyway. And there's a lot of interpretations. There's a lot of like reinterpreting of the wicked child. And a lot of people are like, you know, I'm not really down with this like response. And then the other thing is that the response to the wicked child and the response to the child who doesn't know to ask is actually the same response. When you just look at the like literal part in quotes. So that's the four children.
I also liked in the Torah Smash episode that I know usually when you say call a person simple, it's usually like a negative thing. Mm-hmm. And I like that their interpretation was like, the simple one is more like wisdom. It's more like they follow their heart. They're more like about how it makes them feel. Like, oh, they care about a lot of things. Right. So I like that interpretation for simple better.
Yeah.
Right.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Are there other things that we want to talk about just in regarding the four children? Or do we want to, are we ready to jump in?
I think we're ready to start fighting about who is who.
Yeah.
I am so pumped for this.
I think we all have strong opinions. And
they're all going to be different.
Yeah, I can't guarantee that any of them are going to be the same. So that's my favorite part of this.
Who wants to go first?
Brittany, go.
Okay, all right. So the wise is going to be Triss. The wicked is going to be Briar. Simple is Sandry. And the one that doesn't know how to ask is Dasha. Not your face, Natalie.
I think that's exactly the same as my original interpretation. And then I thought about it longer and changed my mind.
Oh, no. Okay.
Marjorie, what's your
okay.
opinion?
Okay. So I think the wise child is Briar. The wicked child is Sandry. The simple child is Dasha. And the child who doesn't know to ask is Triss.
Does that make sense?
Okay. And I love this so much. Indy? Indy's eyes are like bugging out of their face right now.
Indy, what is yours, Indy?
I really hope that yours are completely different, and I only wish that Goodwin was here to have like yet a completely different answer. Yeah.
So were any of ours the same? They weren't, were they, Marjorie?
I don't think so.
Sandry's the wise, Briar is the wicked, Dodge is the simple, and Triss does not know how to ask.
Fascinating.
Okay. All right. I think I might have to agree with you guys on Triss being the one that doesn't know how to ask. Because listening to the tour smash, oh, I know everything. And she does seem to act like she knows everything. Doesn't want to ask because she doesn't know that she should ask because she knows everything. So I will give that one to you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really where I went with that. Because like I said, when I first thought about it, I was like, well, Triss is the wise one and Briar's the wicked one. And then I thought about it a little bit longer and I was like, actually, no, you know, Triss is the one who doesn't know to ask because she's really insulated.
Right.
And she makes all of these assumptions and like constantly has to be corrected.
So. Right. Yeah. So I think you guys are right about that one for sure. I still think that Sandry is the simple one. I think she's the simple one.
Okay. But let me tell you why it's Dasha.
Okay. Yeah, I want to hear both of your answers, especially because this one's the weakest for me personally. Like the other three are the ones that I feel strongest about. And to some degree, Dasha's the simple one because I had to slot her in somewhere. Okay, Brittany, why is Sandry the simple one?
Because she has such a big heart and she's constantly like doing what she thinks is right, regardless of whether it is or not. We see it with her rescuing the dog in the first few books. We see that when she goes back home to Namorn, she thinks that she's in the right, but she's clearly not. And she goes with her feelings and what she thinks is the proper way of everything, even in her stubbornness.
Okay, Indy, why do you think Dasha is the simple one?
Because of the very big fact of she doesn't know, she's gonna ask.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it is also
but
very...
But wouldn't that make her wise?
No.
No?
Because, okay, but no.
Because
so,
the wise like, child already knows something about it.
Yeah.
And the simple child is the one who doesn't know.
If Dasha does not understand or know, she's like, hey, what the fuck? But also, she is like the grounding force for everybody else.
See, I feel like that argument makes her sound like the wise one.
Yeah, me too.
That's fair, but like growing up in a trader society, she does not have the same knowledge as everybody else.
Yeah, that's...
She does ask a lot of questions when it comes to. Also, like, she probably wouldn't admit it, but like, besides Sandry, she was the first to like, go, okay, these are my people. She does have that big heart, even though she probably would not admit it.
Yep. I went with like Dasha being the one who is most out of place, so everyone else is kind of like more established and more like they're in a society that is somewhat familiar to them, and Dasha is like been picked up from one culture and plunked down into another.
I know you are, I'm not convinced.
You are allowed to disagree.
I am not convinced that Sandry.
Yeah. I don't think we have to come to a consensus on this episode.
All right, because I don't think we're gonna.
Well, I was gonna say, like, I understand the argument and I value the argument. I just think you're fucking wrong.
I think you're fucking wrong. Your argument makes her sound like the white one.
In all honesty, I really like your interpretation, Brittany, because I hadn't even considered that angle on Sandry.
Right. That's why I'm right.
Because I hadn't considered the angle.
Exactly. You hadn't considered it. Now you've considered it. I'm right.
No, I still think that she's the wicked one. And let me tell you why.
Oh, yeah? Okay. All right. Let's hear it.
Sandry is always breaking with tradition and breaking away from things in every way possible. The obvious is that she's nobility, and then she wants to like sew and embroider and stuff, and she's constantly being told, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. And like, yes, Daja's like breaking away from tradition too, but like once she gets in this new society, that's all gone. But Sandri is constantly living with it and constantly being the noble girl who is like not noble. Chapter 3, we see her pouring milk into somebody's plate. And that's the other thing, right? Like she does kind of wicked things.
Yeah, I never
thought. She pours milk into a girl's plate and says, "Lap up, kitty." Like she can be really mean when she wants to, and she uses her nobility to do it. And then also in The Will of the Empress, it's almost like the reverse, because she's rebelling from having to take care of her lands and do her duty, basically. But then she's also rebelling from her friends who are like, well, if you don't want to be here and do this, why don't you just give up your lands to somebody else who can do that and take care of your people correctly? And then you can go back and be an Emmeline. Like, you don't need the money. You don't need the power. And she resists that for a really, really, really long time.
Right.
So that is why I think Sandri is the wicked one. I also think of, like, the bit where Briar keeps tickling her with the straw on the roof.
And
she just turns around and starts tickling him back. She bites a kid.
Because she's following her heart.
Well, her heart is leading her in a wicked direction.
I think she's a little bit of both. She's wicked and simple. Oh, no.
She's simply wicked.
She's simply wicked.
But this is the one that none of us agreed on. So Indy has to tell us why Sandri is the wise one.
The reason why she is the wise one, in my opinion, is that she doesn't ask why. She asks for elaboration.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She kind of already knows what the answer is, but she wants to know why the answer is, and wants to know no more than just like the surface, what everybody else is told. So she wants to know the intricacies, the rituals, the things that also she's, like, this is gonna sound really weird the way I'm about to phrase this, but she's good at the manipulation of others.
I mean, you're not wrong. That's absolutely why she's wicked.
No, but like, from listening to the Taurus Smash episode, and like, I might be totally misinterpreting this, but they talked about it as being like the four generations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so the wise one is the one, this is the ritual, this is how we do it, this is exactly what it is. That is her. She reins people in to follow rules.
Oh, see, I disagree. I think that she's the one who's rebelling from the rules.
She breaks so many rules.
I'm not saying she follows the rules. I'm saying she forces everybody else to follow them. Because, like, okay, some examples, one that's already been brought up. The pouring milk into somebody's bowl and saying, "Lap up, kitty." In a hierarchy, in a nobility setting, she does outrank that person. And she is like, "Okay, go ahead. Talk back to me. I'm going to put you in your place."
Breaking rules to make them follow the rules.
Yeah.
I get you. That makes sense.
You're going to learn your place, and this is your place. And that is kind of the reason why I took her as the wise, is like looking at it as, she does uphold tradition.
Yeah. Right.
That is a big thing about her, is no matter how many rules she breaks, no matter how much she hates it, she does actively uphold traditional.
I mean, that's why she held on to her house for so long instead of giving it to somebody.
See, like, because you mentioned the way they talk about it as a generational thing, where the first generation is the wise and then the next is the wicked because they rebel.
Yes.
And then the next is the simple, because their only experience it like at grandma's house and not getting it on the regular. And then the next is they don't know to ask because they haven't really had the tradition at all.
Yeah.
But even like looking at it from that perspective, I still feel like she's the wicked one because I feel like she's the one who is breaking tradition. But I also think it goes back to, I think this was in this episode where somebody said the wicked child is a good thing because wickedness is how we got like Reform Judaism.
Yes.
And so that is the brand of wicked that Sandri is. She's like, I'm going to break all the rules and create something new because I think it's better.
Mm.
Okay, so we've had three of the four. I feel like now we have to figure out, because if Goodwin were here, clearly he would say that Sandri was the child who didn't know to ask. So what would that argument be?
But she's not.
Okay, this is what I would say. She doesn't ask, she makes demands.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was actually going to be my argument. She doesn't ask anybody anything.
Sandri don't have questions. She just bosses people around.
Yeah, Sandri doesn't ask anybody anything. She goes, all right, this is how it's gonna be.
Literally,
I outrank you. We're doing it.
Literally, with the other kids, she's basically, it's not, do you want to be my friend? It's just, we're friends now,
McKay. We're friends. I don't have to ask you if we're friends, because we are.
And when Briar steals the tree and she just stands there and she's like, no, you can't enter.
You can't be in here. You can't pull rank on us. Watch me. I'm going to fucking do it.
Watch me.
Watch me.
So we've talked Aja, we talked Triss, we talked Sandri. I guess at least Briar.
Now that I have moved Triss from the wise role to the one that doesn't ask, Briar is the wise one.
What? OMFG. Marjorie and Brittany agreeing on shit.
OMG. So that means for me that I just have to kind of slot Daja into the wicked role. I don't think it fits her. So I have the same dilemma as you of Daja. Like, just having her just put her somewhere.
That's why she's the simple one.
No, that's why she's the wicked one. But no, Briar is the wise one because he ends up being the best teacher and he knows lots of different things that have helped him throughout the books. Like he has the street smarts. He's got the book knowledge now. He just gains all this knowledge and wants to learn everything about everything. Yeah, he's definitely wise.
We have talked at such length about like how smart he is and how clever he is. I think about the bit in Triss's book where he figures out that Amory is working with the pirates.
Yep. And he's wise enough to like realize maybe this might be jealousy. I don't know. I need to find out for sure before I just tell her.
So he figures out that Amory's a part of this.
Right.
But then he also is able to like consider the fact that he's wrong, which is really difficult for most people.
Yeah.
And he understands that if he's going to accuse Amory, he has to have some kind of proof. And then he's clever enough to figure out how to sneak into Amory's.
I love me.
And you know what? I'm going to say that's wisdom there. We should all be loving ourselves more.
Yes.
That's fair.
All right. So why is Briar the wicked child? Because this one feels like obvious.
Knives.
Knives. He steals a tree.
Knives. Also, he is the most challenging out of all of them.
I mean, he knows how to take a bath now.
Like, he is the one who is like, fuck you, I'm not going to do what you tell me. Like, out of all of them.
Oh, you're trying to die? I don't fucking think so.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly.
He rebelled against death itself.
He did. And he fucking won.
Yeah, like I said.
But he only won because he had everybody else there with him.
He did. Yeah.
So maybe the lesson of the four children is actually that we need all four children.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
I can actually argue Daja is the wicked one.
Ooh,
I want to hear it. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I think of her taking bets in the Will of the Empress when Briar's about to get in the fight.
Yeah.
Egging it on. Like, yeah, let's go.
I was going to say she.
Illegal gambling.
as much of tradition as she knows and she follows, she pushes every ounce of the boundaries between her two cultures. Because she will constantly question, why is it this way? She will constantly be like, this isn't right.
Daja would argue with a brick wall. Like, look right, at me.
So, look yeah, at my mind is correct. I wasn't sure about Daja being wicked.
Look me in my eyeball. Look me in my eyeball and tell me she would not
argue. Here's the thing.
Solidified my answers. Daja is the wicked one.
See, here's the thing. I think Sandry would argue with a brick wall, but this is why they're friends. Right?
Okay. Yes.
Because they're all four and you can pair them off however, but the sort of first pairings that they get kind of paired off as is Sandry and Daja and then Triss and Briar.
Yep.
And this is why Sandry and Daja work.
Yes.
Because they are wicked in the same way.
I can argue
way.
With you.
Yeah, well, and like they both push the boundaries of their cultures. Like, yeah. I feel like what I said about Sandry is very similar or the same as what Indy is saying about Daja.
Right.
Like, I am going to break away. I'm going to break rules in order to create something new that is improved upon.
I mean, the whole thing with her being able to still talk to the traitors, even though she is not a traitor anymore, she was written in the book as to not be able to do that anymore. And then she's created this new role for herself. Mm-hmm. For both her cultures. I don't know, listening to the Tora Smash thing, like, we need the Wicked Child for that change, and she, I feel like that fits her for both her cultures.
Yeah.
Now that you said that, so, yeah.
Small spoiler, Daja was almost the Wicked One. that was almost my choice. Which would beg the question, why is Briar the simple one?
Well, because he's the one who's least book educated.
That, and he wants to sleep on the floor because the mice are going to nibble on the straps. Was it
also
the straps?
You could argue that Briar's the one who doesn't know to ask, because when they're doing the chores, he doesn't ask what his chores are.
He just waits to figure out
what everybody else is doing and then goes and does what isn't being done.
Well, the other reason why I say simple is actually something that they brought up during that episode. You feed a curiosity. What is this? And you feed a curiosity. And Briar is...
He definitely does.
...to a fucking T. He wants to know everything that you will give him.
That's why Evie and him get on so well, because she's very much the same way.
So if you can't tell... Those two were almost flipped.
Yeah.
Because I've got arguments for both.
Yeah. To you, our listeners, Jewish or not, I feel like what you should be taking away from the story of the four children this Passover is not that the Wicked Child wouldn't have been rescued. But that all four of these varieties are present in all of us.
Yes.
We are all four of them. And also that you need all four of them. You need to follow your heart, and you need the person who follows their heart, and you need the person who breaks rules, and you need the person who understands the rules and the reasons behind them, and you need the person who doesn't know and is willing to ask questions and try new things because they don't understand yet. And yeah.
Okay.
We need everybody.
We do.
I'm gonna make a question here.
Yeah.
Because I have to ask.
Are you gonna ask about us four?
Yeah.
See, I initially was gonna be like, I'm clearly the Wicked Child because I feel like Sandry is, but no. To be honest, well, I think you're the Wicked Child.
Who, Natalie?
Yes.
Yes, definitely, for sure.
I'm tempted to argue that I am the Wise Child because I at least in terms of like the circle of magic, because I'm the one who was like, let's all come together and make a podcast about this book series that I loved as a kid. I know it backwards and forwards. I also, like, we're doing literary analysis and I'm an English teacher, so this is literally what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
So
that would either make me the simple or the one who doesn't know how to ask.
Just decide which one you don't want to be and give that one to Goodwin.
I feel like I'm the one that doesn't know how to ask, because it's hard for me to ask for help a lot of times, and I just let myself struggle with things. Like,
I was gonna say it's because you argue with me all the time.
That too.
It's the same reason that Sandry is the child that doesn't know how to ask. You don't ask. You're just like, no, you're wrong. Carol's evil, and you're wrong.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. So I guess Goodwin's the simple one. He follows his heart.
He does.
And he looks up shit. He doesn't know the answer.
He does. Yeah. He is the one who asks questions. He's our research expert.
He just does. Like, he's like, oh, I don't know the answer. Let me Google it. Find out. Oh, okay. So this is the answer. And we'll just tell us the answer.
Yeah.
If he was here, he'd have just been walking in and he'd come in and been like, boom, I also did all of this extra research.
Yeah.
I did extra.
Yeah, well, you had to, because Goodwin wasn't here.
Okay, oh, that's fair.
I had to take on Goodwin's role.
You got a point. Mm-hmm. But, oh my god, is that it? Are we done?
I think so. Happy Passover, everyone.
Happy Passover.
Passover.
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake at us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet @ReadingTemple.
A special thanks to Yellows for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellows for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening.
Let's all have coffee next week.
I'm so glad I can share random Passover memes now.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.